Next day, a large ship, the Rachel, was descried, bearing directly down upon the Pequod, all her spars thickly clustering with men. At the time, the Pequod was making good speed through the water, but as the broad-winged windward stranger shot nigh to her, the boastful sails all fell together as blank bladders that are burst, and all life fled from the smitten hull.
"Bad news. She brings bad news," muttered the old Manxman.
But ere her commander, who with a trumpet to mouth, stood up in his boat, ere he could hopefully hail, Ahab's voice was heard.
"Has seen the white whale?"
"Aye, yesterday. Have you seen a whale boat adrift?"
Throttling his joy, Ahab negatively answered this unexpected question, and would then have fain boarded the stranger, when the stranger captain himself, having stopped the vessel's way, was seen descending her side. A few keen pulls, and his boat hook soon clenched the Pequod's main chains, and he sprang to the deck. Immediately he was recognized by Ahab for a Nantucketer he knew, but no formal salutation was exchanged.
"Where was he? Not killed, not killed,"
cried Ahab, closely advancing.
"How was it?"
It seemed that somewhat late on the afternoon of the day previous, while three of the stranger's boats were engaged with a shoal of whales, which had led them some 4 or 5 miles from the ship, and while they were yet in swift chase to windward, the white hump and head of Moby Dick had suddenly loomed up out of the water, not very far to leeward, whereupon the fourth rigged boat, a reserved one, had been instantly lowered in chase. After a keen sail before the wind, this fourth boat, the swiftest keeled of all, seemed to have succeeded in fastening, at least as well as the man at the masthead could tell anything about it. In the distance he saw the diminished dotted boat, and then a swift gleam of bubbling white water, and after that nothing more. Whence it was concluded that the stricken whale must have indefinitely run away with his pursuers, as often happens. There was some apprehension, but no positive alarm as yet. The recall signals were placed in the rigging. Darkness came on, and forced to pick up her three far to windward boats, ere going in quest of the fourth one in precisely the opposite direction, the ship had not only been necessitated to leave that boat to its fate till near midnight, but for the time to increase her distance from it. But the rest of her crew being at last safe aboard, she crowded all sail, stunsail on stunsail, after the missing boat, kindling a fire in her trypots for a beacon, and every other man aloft on the lookout. But though, when she had thus sailed a sufficient distance to gain the presumed place of the absent ones when last seen, though she then paused to lower her spare boats to pull all around her, and not finding anything, had again dashed on, again paused and lowered her boats, and though she had thus continued doing till daylight, yet not the least glimpse of the missing keel had been seen. The story told, the stranger captain immediately went on to reveal the object in boarding the Pequod. He desired that ship to unite with his own in the search, by sailing over the sea some 4 or 5 miles apart, on parallel lines, and so sweeping a double horizon, as it were.
My own boy is among them. For God's sakes, I beg, I conjure,"
here exclaimed the stranger captain to Ahab, who thus far had but icily received his petition.
"For 8 and 40 hours, let me charter your ship. I will gladly pay for it, and roundly pay for it, if there be no other way, for 8 and 40 hours only that. Oh, you must, and you shall do this thing." "His son," cried Stubb. "Oh, it's his son he's lost. What says Ahab? We must save that boy."
"I will not go," said the stranger, "till you say aye to me. Do to me as you would have me do to you in the like case, for you too have a boy, Captain Ahab, though but a child and nestling safely at home now, a child of your old age too. Yes, yes, you relent, I see it. Run, run, men, now, and stand by to square in the yards."
"Avast,"
cried Ahab.
"Touch not a rope yarn."
Then in a voice that prolongingly molded every word,
"Captain Gardner, I will not do it. Even now I lose time. Goodbye, goodbye,
God bless you, man, and may I forgive myself, but I must go. Mr. Starbuck, look at the binnacle watch, and in 3 minutes from this present instant, warn off all strangers, then brace forward again and let the ship sail as before.
Hurriedly turning with averted face, he descended into his cabin, leaving the strange captain transfixed at this unconditional and utter rejection of his so earnest suit. But starting from his enchantment, Gardiner silently hurried to the side. Moore fell and stepped into his boat and returned to his ship. Soon the two ships diverged their wakes, and as long as the strange vessel was in view, she was seen to yaw hither and thither at every dark spot, however small, on the sea. This way and that, her yards were swung around. Starboard and larboard, she continued to tack. Now she beat against a head sea, and again it pushed her before it, while all the while her masts and yards were thickly clustered with men as three tall cherry trees when the boys are cherrying among the boughs. But by her still halting course and winding, woeful way, you plainly saw that this ship that so wept with spray still remained without comfort. She was Rachel, weeping for her children because they were not.